This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
The mysterious disappearance of hundreds of European honeybee colonies in Pennsylvania was first reported in late fall 2006. In the past 3 years, the baffling empty hive syndrome, called colony collapse disorder, has been reported in many parts of the world. Some beekeepers have lost nearly 100% of their bees. Even though nicotine-based pesticides are high on the culprit list, to date, scientists have not been able to pinpoint the exact cause, and empty hives continue. Although the good news is that American bees are not disappearing as rapidly as they were. A year ago, the California almond growers were so worried about getting enough honeybees to pollinate their valuable almond crop that there were discussions about importing Mexico's Africanized honeybees to fill the gap created by disappearing European honeybees that have traditionally been the main American pollinator. The apiary director in Florida's Department of Agriculture in Gainesville, Florida, is Jerry Hayes. He never thought using Africanized honeybees to pollinate almond or any other crop was a good idea. He has long worried that the encroachment of Africanized bees into the southern United States would bring violence and speed the elimination of calmer European honeybees, since the aggressive and tough Africanized honeybees take over genetically. Ironically, as 2009 came with a severe financial collapse that keeps rippling around the world like dominoes falling, orders for almonds fell off sharply. Now, almond growers are desperate to save money in a declining market and have even plowed under almond acreages. That means less pollination demands on the European honeybees this spring, which might help them recover more strongly. But surging even stronger are the Africanized honeybees making their own way from Mexico into the southern states, where they can survive year-round and are viciously attacking people and animals. Recently, I asked Jerry Hayes for a current update on colony collapse disorder and the Africanized bee threat. He begins with a surprising decline in almond demand, a crop entirely dependent upon honeybee pollination.
The situation for almond pollination has changed with the economy. Almonds are not as valuable. And then in California, they're having major water issues, irrigation water issues. Almond groves that are actually been bulldozed, others that are not being irrigated so they won't produce a crop, and then others that still need pollination.
So what you mean is that the combination of drought and water problems plus the reduction in demand for almonds, that some almond acreage has even been plowed under, and that means less demand for the honeybees.
Right, less demand for honeybees, and then almond growers were concerned about getting enough pollination. They negotiated contracts early on for, say, $150 a colony, and then with these things that have popped up, they went back to renegotiate or cancel contracts with beekeepers, unlike stuff we've done with AIG, but I'm not bitter, okay?
Wow, AIG gets bailed out, but the poor honeybee keepers don't get bailed out by anybody.
Nobody gets bailed out by anybody. The almond growers are left to fend for themselves, and do we care where food comes from?
What is your own assessment as director of the apiary division of Florida's Department of Agriculture on what is happening to the honeybees?
We still do not know. We still think that it's a combination of stressors, nutrition, pesticides, environment, pathogens. And to digress here a minute, I was watching some show on PBS the other night, and it was about striped bass and how the populations of striped bass have fallen. And if you had switched the word striped bass for honeybees, it was the same thing from researchers on striped bass. Poor environment. The water's bad. Because the water's bad, then we're overfishing. And then because of that, the secondary pathogens move in. And then there's overfishing on the striped bass themselves. And so the thought to me was, golly, maybe honeybees were the canary in the mine shaft to alert us to these things that could happen with other species. Certainly seems like we're poisoning ourselves.
Do you know, in Florida, for example, have you been getting reports from honeybee keepers about them opening up hives and finding a lot of disappearances in this winter, spring?
Yes, we have. Opening up some colonies and the bees appear to be gone, similar to CCD-like symptoms. Others that the bees are weak, they're not building up, their population isn't increasing as it normally would. But these reports are dramatically less than they have been in the last couple of years.
From your perspective, colony collapse disorder is still a phenomenon that's affecting honeybees in North America and other places.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we're on the downhill slide, and whether it's, you know, Darwin in action, it's killed off all the weak, and survivors are the ones that are reproducing.
Well, I'm curious what you thought of that late February article out of the BBC in which the headline said that colony collapse disorder not being a disease and questioning the entire colony collapse disorder. And it was as if somebody wanted to present something in the world media that there was nothing to colony collapse disorder. And what was your reaction?
I was rather shocked, because we certainly have amassed data over the last couple of years, not only here in the U.S., but in Europe and Asia, that this phenomena has been going on. So it's a little bizarre coming from the BBC, who you many times think will have their ducks lined up better than appeared to be in this particular article.
And what was really peculiar, buried on page 3 of that article, was the actual heart of what so many beekeepers think is the problem, and that's the nicotine-based pesticides. And this same BBC reporter said they cause memory problems in the bees so they cannot get back to their hives. And I thought, why is this not the lead on this BBC story?
Well, yeah, you know, and that's well-documented research on that. Lots of data from Europe. I just read a research report from Taiwan. All the data is the same, that neonicotinoids affect honeybees' short-term, long-term memory and do many other things. Not quite sure where the BBC was going with all this stuff.
You and I have talked over the past year that if colony collapse disorder continued to decimate the honeybee population, that almond growers and others might have to turn to Mexico for Africanized bees for pollination.
Right now, the Africanized bee has taken over most of South America, Central America, of course, Mexico, and move into the United States. Our population in Florida came, we think, on shipping traffic from South America, Central America, Mexico, as reproductive swarms that were hitchhiking on shipping traffic coming to our deep water ports in Florida. We have about 500 traps set along the coastline and at port areas, but, you know, they don't always select our traps and enter the environment. And now we're filling up our tropical, subtropical environment, outbreeding, outcompeting European bees that were in the feral population. We have lost a 900-pound horse. We're up to, actually, as of yesterday, 20 dogs, goats and sheep, and unfortunately, we had our first human fatality in April of 2008.
How do Africanized bees kill a human and kill a horse and all these animals that are dying?
All bees are defensive. They want to protect their home, their babies, their resources. European bees, if you disturb their colonies, may send out, 20 or 30 guard bees to assess the situation, and then if it's perceived as bad, to try to drive off the perceived threat. Africanized honeybees, because they evolved in a very harsh part of Africa, a lot of predators, man, honey badgers, and what have you, The weak were killed and the strong, aggressive survived. That's what the Brazilians brought over. So these bees will mobilize, virtually the whole colony of tens of thousands of bees, and simply through mass stinging will kill either the perceived threat or drive them away. One of the unfortunate things is that Africanized honeybees use CO2. So they will fly up the CO2 plume that, you know, an animal or a person is exhaling or when they're screaming, and go up your nose and your mouth and sting as they go down, causing, you know, very quick swelling. And so most of the deaths are not by venom, but by asphyxiation. The horse that we lost, the vet at the autopsy found 3 to 4 pounds of the Africanized bees in the horse's lungs and its stomach. So it's a pretty dramatic way to go.
If I understand what you just said, that 3 to 4 pounds of Africanized bees flew up into the horse's nose and mouth because they were tracking after the exhaled CO2?
Yes, ma'am. And this is not unusual. There have been other deaths of livestock and pets and humans in southwest U.S., and this is one of the things that they do. It's not unusual. And so Brazil, I think the numbers are they have something like 300 human fatalities a year. Venezuela, I think about 400 human fatalities. And this is a pretty dramatic and significant way to die, and we certainly don't want to do that anymore.
And that the Africanized bee will target CO2 being exhaled from whatever it is attacking to go right for the CO2 and into the animal or human.
Yeah, or human, yeah.
Had the veterinarian ever seen 3 to 4 pounds of bees inside of the stomach of a horse before?
Not that he related.
It's just kind of mind-blowing.
It is, you know, and horses have a small airway, and so if you have bees climbing in your mouth and down your throat and up your nose and stinging, you know, those mucous membranes swell quite rapidly and you asphyxiate. This horse was in a stall. You know, our recommendation is for anybody that has a altercation interface with stinging insects, you know, run, get away, get in someplace. The horse was in a stall. Most of the dogs that have died have been in kennels or restrained somehow, goats and sheep, and they just can't get away.
Africanized honeybees, also known as killer bees, are hybrid combinations of the African honeybee with various European honeybees. Visually, you cannot tell an Africanized honeybee from a European honeybee. They look the same. The Africanized hybrids were accidentally released to southeastern Brazil in 1957 during bee hybridization research. The African queen bees eventually mated with local drones, and their descendants have since spread throughout the Americas. Africanized honeybees swarm much more often than European honeybees. An example of differences between the aggression of the two types of bees: if you disturb a European beehive, 20 or 30 guard bees will fly around the intruder. But Africanized bees mobilize their whole colony to attack. And that can be tens of thousands of bees. They swarm fast into a raging, stinging mob that can kill humans and animals. On Wednesday, March 25th, 2009, in La Mesa, California, 4 people were hospitalized after a large hive of Africanized bees living in the roof of a house near Helix High School swarmed with a new queen and began attacking people walking nearby. A local TV news photographer on the scene reported, quote, "Those bees are not gentle. They are mean. They're insane. They are hostile," close quote. Last weekend, on Saturday, March 21st, in Las Vegas, Nevada, a 53-year-old man was hospitalized after being stung at least 2,000 times by Africanized honeybees after he overturned a large rock with a backhoe and exposed a huge 50-pound beehive. The Clark County Fire Department responded with fire hoses to wash down the victim, who was said to have a black mass of bees on his back repeatedly stinging him. A year ago, on April 10th, 2008, a Florida resident was stung more than 100 times by Africanized bees and died in an allergic reaction, the first reported human death of bee stings in Florida. And in 2005, a 900-pound horse in Hendry County, Florida, was stung to death. Jerry Hayes says he is so worried about the Africanized bees doing violence in Florida that he wakes up at night wondering what he can do about it. Here now is Jerry Hayes, apiary director in Florida's Department of Agriculture, about his huge challenge of controlling and managing Africanized bees.
A human fatality was a gentleman who was clearing some old agricultural barn and some fuel tanks a couple miles away from the main road. This old fuel tank was open, had no fuel in it, and the bees had nested in there. He had taken, I think, a backhoe and knocked this thing to the ground. They came out to see who was attacking their home, and he couldn't make it to the main road.
They're fast, and they swarm as an entire hive mass.
Pretty much, yep.
If I understand correctly, you're having increased numbers of aggressions by the Africanized bees, including your first attack and death on a human, a horse, all of this now increasing even into the spring of 2009, and that the Africanized bee will basically get rid of the calm domestic honeybee wherever it goes, correct?
Yes. The reason for that is that the genes for aggressiveness are dominant, carried by the drone or the male bee, and these bees will interbreed at first and hybridize, but because of this genetic dominance, over a period of time, the European characteristics go away and these aggressive characteristics prevail.
Do you think it's realistic to expect that Florida and other beekeeping states are going to be able to block the taking over of the Africanized bee?
No, I don't. I was in Guyana, South America, several months ago, and was on a beekeeping tour. They have had Africanized bees since, I think, 1974 or so, when these bees moved in through Brazil and into Guyana. These guys have been working with Africanized bees for 30 years, 35 years or so, and are confident that they can manage these bees. They took us out to an area of the jungle which had been cleared, and that there were probably, 50 Africanized honeybee colonies there. We had been assured that the beekeepers knew what they were doing and that everything would be safe and well, and so they drove a bus of us up to about 300 yards away from this apiary with these colonies. We got off the bus and walked towards the apiary. Everybody said everything's okay, and there were people out there, and they had very large smokers, if you're aware that beekeepers use to control bees, but these were very large, kind of trash can size. And I'm getting to be an old guy. And I looked around and I said, yeah, this doesn't look real good to me. So I just calmly walked back to the bus and started making friends with the bus driver, thinking that, if something goes bad, I want to see it from a distance. So I hung around there for 15 minutes and smoke is billowing and people have their bee suits on and veils and are looking in hives. And then there was the first scream. And the bees were fine until they had reached some level of a trigger level that they did not want anybody manipulating them anymore. And so they mobilized themselves and people were being stung. One man running through the bushes had a limb grab his protective veil and rip it off, and he was stung severely. He had to go to the hospital ultimately, and many other people were stung. And so as a good American, I got in the bus and put the windows up in the bus, knowing that my friends would be coming back. And they came back, got in the bus, and drove about another 300 yards to a main road around about through the jungle. And the bees had given up pretty much by then, which is pretty typical of Africanized bees. And people were getting out, and of course, there was swelling, and people were starting to tell war stories. And then all of a sudden, this herd of goats comes tearing out of the jungle. The bees, looking for any perceived threat, not only people, were attacking some goats that were in the jungle and drove them out. First thing I thought to myself is, we can't do this in Florida. This won't work. And so that just mobilized my thoughts even more of public safety and then safety of the industry. What can we do to protect the industry and make them still be able to have manageable colonies and not be zoned and ordinanced out of beekeeping?
Well, is there an answer to your question?
I don't know. I'm making a lot of this up as we go along. Certainly there have been other states in the U.S. that had Africanized bees.
How else could you ever stop the Africanization of North American bees and bees everywhere unless you go into a genetic program that would change the genetics of the Africanized bee?
You're absolutely right, but we still have places in North America and Canada that have significant winters where this tropical bee cannot live year-round. So we can access queens, the fertile female, from these areas, and part of our best management practices is encouraging beekeepers to access queens of known parentage from northern regions, have them marked in such a way that when the beekeeper checks his or her colony, they know that that queen is in fact the mother of all those bees in there. And if she is not, then she needs to be replaced with one that is marked and has these characteristics. So that's one of the key elements of our best management practices. We think we can help the beekeepers maintain manageable colonies, even though the feral environment may be full of Africanized bees. And so this is why it's important for beekeepers to be thought of as part of the solution, because these manageable colonies will pull out also drones that will mate with Africanized queens. Will it stop the aggressiveness and defensiveness? No, it won't, but it will tone it down and tame it down so that we hopefully at least will have a population that is not as defensive and is not as aggressive as a pure population would be.
Right. Is there a latitude in the United States above which these Africanized bees will not go because of cold?
For year-round, you know, everybody has summer, so theoretically, you know, these bees could exist in summertime, but there's probably a line, Tennessee, North Carolina line. Below that, they will live year-round, and above that, maybe kind of like the tide going in and out. They may wash across in summertime and then be pushed back in the wintertime.
And Brazil, they're losing 300 people a year to the violent attacks, but is Brazil trying to do anything to better control their Africanized bees?
No, you have to remember that, you know, they've been doing this for 50 years, and it is what it is. In some cases, the Brazilians like the Africanized bees. You certainly don't have a problem with somebody stealing your colonies. And because these bees swarm so often, asexually reproduce, our bees will send out a swarm once, twice, three times a year. Africanized bees will do it 15, 16, 17 times a year, and this is how they dominate the genetic landscape so much. And so if their bees die, they can leave their colonies out there and more will fill up the hives, and so they will suit up and protect themselves and try to guard their chickens and their pigs, and then cross your fingers.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.